precious Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Virginia, put up, Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Put that back up there. Those words. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Listen, church. The Lord bless you, empower you to prosper without toil, and keep you. Psalm 91. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Presence. Be gracious. Gracious means disposed to show favor. Disposed to show favor. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what we have right now. If you need to step into that and go free, come down here right now. Jesse, Danny, and Art, come on. Deb, come on. We're going to pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those dry bones are rattling today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Freedom today. You know, people say, well, you know, some of those people go down there every week. Right. Keep on a coming. Keep on coming. Keep on believing. Keep on praying till there's breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where are we, ushers? Wave at me, ushers. Okay. Let's go. Let's go here. Come on. Thank you, Lord. All right. It's just as Jesse was saying. This is a go free. You're pushing forward. Okay? Freedom. Freedom. Get your lock eyes with the ushers, remember. Jesus' name now. See me? Yeah. Jesus' name.
To the floor, Lord.
Yes.
All the way to the
floor. Jesus' name. Let go of me. Let go of me. Jesus. Freedom. Woo. Strong anointing. Freedom. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Receive, church. Just let his glory go through you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a new liberty coming to you, David. Now. Toshikitasa. I see moving ahead written right across your head in Jesus' name. She's moving ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Are you getting in here? Come on. Jesus' name. Jesus. Woo. See, the anointing will remove those burdens just right away. So just take it all. You ready? Right now. Woo. You ready? Okay. This is your day. This is your day, Miss Kim, in Jesus' name. It's your day. It's your day. Okay. Y'all got her because there's somebody behind her. Okay. Koshakata. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Here we go. There you go. There you go. If she goes down, she needs to go down gently. So get her. Well, we're just protecting you anyway, in Jesus' name. Jesus.
Jesus.
She's so anointed, it just comes back on us. All right, this is it today. You found such grace and favor with God. This is going to get multiplied to you today. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. There you go. Receive all. Receive all. Receive all. More and more and more and more and more and more and more. Jesus' name. Karabakatoso. Got her? The anointing removes the burden. There's just stuff just get wiped out quickly. You're almost going, where is it? It's gone. Jesus' name. Ready? All right, where are you? Come on. Yeah, yeah. Oh, good receiver. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The breaking through. You know, I just read yesterday, I was reading about David, and he asked the Lord, he said, should I go after the Philistines? And the Lord said, go ahead, I'm with you. I think this is your day to go ahead. He's with you. Jesus' name. See, you're just handing out in Jesus' name. Yeah, right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just heard the Lord say, this is a lady of gold. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what that means to you, but something. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wait for him. Need some ushers here. You good? Jesus. See it, see it, see it, see it, see it. It's yours. See it and say it. See it and say it. Thank you, Lord. 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 Receive it. Receive. There it is. Receive. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Watch the Holy Spirit. You know how to do it. In here. Watch him. He's going to show you something really important. You watch him. Because as you watch him, your life's going to change, and then you're going to watch him for others. And you're just going to say things. You're just going to say things. Not out to people, but you'll say, you know what, in the name of Jesus, and people's lives are going to change because you said it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. The Lord says yes. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We in here? You ready to receive? Thank you, Lord. Okay, breakthrough. Breakthrough. This is the breakthrough day. I just see the path behind. Totally gone. Brand new. Brand new. Brand new. But before we lay hands on you, do you have a brother?
Yes.
Yeah, something new for him too. Something new for your brother coming up really quickly. Now for you. Breakthrough, Jesus' name. All right, let's get some, okay. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Yeah. 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 All right. The Lord said he's not going to let you go. Not going to let you go. He's not going to let you go. Whatever that means to you. Are you in line? All right, man of God. Shh. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your heart beats right along with God's heartbeat. Right along with God's heartbeat. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
What you say is important. It's important that it changes atmospheres.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if the words, mm-hmm. that's how he created us to be, that they would create. But your words have significance. Mm-hmm. Lord wants you to know your words have significance. Even if you feel like maybe they don't when they aren't received, they have significance. They have significance to him and they have significance to the people around
you. You're really important to God and important to this area. You just watch what he'll do. The favor of God is on your life. Ready for breakthrough? All right. Jesus.
Wow.
That was good news yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. You ready for a new breakthrough? In Jesus' name. Right now. Woohoo! All right. Breakthrough time.
Thank you for what, Lord? In Jesus' name.
Watch her head. Ushers, don't let him go down. Come here and hold him. Jesus, breakthrough, 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 breakthrough.
Everything you put your hands to do prosper. Everything
mm-hmm.
you put your hands to
prosper. Praise the Lord. Is that it? Breakthrough. Well, go ahead. Y'all get him. Yeah, yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you may be seated out there if you can. God is so good. The anointing on people's lives changes their lives. Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That fire is not trouble. That fire is the glory of God coming into your soul, into your body, and changing things. He changes things. That's why we do this every week. We want people to be healed. We want people to be delivered. God is a healing God. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for that. God is so good. Man, I liked that dry bones rattling. Man, I just have to tell you, that was awesome. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just think that's where we are. We're just in this place, which, by the way, you might want to check your watch, because when I was praying, Siri answered me on your watch. I saw him coming on saying, "What do you want? What do you want?" And I'm like, "Go ahead, Siri." Her hand was right here when I was. But I'm telling you, we're just in that place. And church, if we don't do this part of the service, we're quenching the Spirit of God.
You're right.
He needs to be able to touch His people. And so we will do what He tells us to do. And right now what He wants us to do is welcome the Reverend Mr. Art Lopez Jr.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 26. How many of you have ever taken a peek at Genesis chapter 26? You know the story. Raise your hand. Let me see you. All right, you know the story. Praise God. I stepped out 4 years ago to do a new business endeavor, and I needed an assignment scripture. Pastor always says, don't get out on anything until you have a scripture. And so new assignment scripture. He brought me to Genesis 26, and I have lived there for 4 years. I'm telling you, it is rich. Amen. All right, amen. Why don't you look to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, you happy? You happy? Amen. All right, what did they say? They say yes? How many people look like they answered by faith? All right. Tell them, just poke them back. Hey, get happy real quick. Get happy. Glory to God. The blessings on your life. It's a happy reason. Amen. All right, hallelujah. Let's read Genesis 26. I'm in the Amplified Bible, by the way. And there was a famine in the land. Say famine. Famine's bad. Someone say famine is bad. No bueno. Okay. There was a famine in the land other than the former famine. Someone say other famine. Former. What did I say? Yeah. Former famine. Okay. Two famines is bad. One famine bad. Two. Oh, it's easy math, right? Okay. This is my level now. I'm easy mathing for myself. One famine bad. Two famines really bad. Someone's giggling back there. Other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar, say Gerar, to Abimelech, say Abimelech, king of the Philistines. There's that word again. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, live in the land that I tell you to. And we, of course, know that he told him to live there. Amen. This is a very, very interesting scripture. There was a famine in the land. Famine, bad. All right? This isn't distressed times. These are busted times. People go hungry in famine. People lose everything in famine. All right. And the Bible says there was a famine in the land other than, so we had an experience, other than the famine your daddy went to. This is a new circumstance. All right. So looks the same, but it's a new circumstance. Isaac's doing it now. All right. A famine gets really bad. So when things look like you got to pack up and go somewhere, now you got the setting of the story. All right, God sent him to a place called Gerar. Anybody ever looked up the meaning of Gerar? Gerar means to chew the cud, to ruminate. God sent him somewhere to ruminate. And he sent him to a king named Abimelech. Abimelech means my father is king. He sent him to a place that's, chew on this for a while, son. Your father is king. Now, that was his name, but he's teaching us something, right? Yeah. Your father is king. Your father owns everything. Your father has all dominion. Now, a Philistine has this title, by the way. Someone without covenant. Sitting there with the title, I own it all. And God says, hey, go to Gerar, out there where I really own it all. Interesting, right? Then he says, do not go down to Egypt. Now, why in the world would God say, don't go to Egypt? Audience participation. Probably because he was thinking about going to Egypt. Oh, come on. Y'all act like God never called you in the mid-sentence, right? God said, do not go down to Egypt. Probably because he's thinking about going to Egypt. He said, chew on this instead. I am your father. Now, this is our revelation of it all, right? I'm your father. I own it all. I will bless you here. And he went down and showed him the whole blessing. All right. Why else wouldn't he go down to Egypt? His dad went to Egypt. His dad, in a time of famine, went to Egypt and came out super blessed. His first major big blessing came out with cattle, hills, servants. That's not all he came back with, though. He came back, their family did, with a little Egyptian servant named Hagar. Hagar represents a system of going to get your needs met yourself. Egypt. Ain't that right? Egypt represents bondage, reproach, what I did last time, because God did it last time through Abraham. Amen. All right. So God's showing us this right now. Don't go back to what you did last time. Don't go back to a place to do it yourself. Instead, join this kingdom right now. Join this system that you are here to own it all. I am giving it all to you. The Philistine had the title, but he had no covenant. God said, I am giving it to your father as king. Amen. Stay in a place that is dependent on God to do the work. Everybody there today? I'm in a place, say, I'm in a place where I'm dependent on God to do the work. Glory to God. I believe you. So, Isaac stayed in Gerar. He stayed in the system of God. He stayed with the word of God. And the Bible says that he sowed and he reaped 100-fold. I've looked at many, many versions, and it doesn't say what he sowed. Some lean to barley. But if you want to know what someone sowed, you look at what they reaped. All right? He reaped men, servants, cattle, lands, possession, wells, fame. Okay? So I submit this to you today. When he stayed with the system, God spoke to him, pronounced a blessing to him. He planted him in his heart. He sowed it into Gerar. God plants the word to you. This is God's system. You plant that word into your circumstance. You plant that word into famine. A famine is not a good time to start a new enterprise. It's not a good time. You can look at the Small Business Administration and look up terrible statistics about what COVID did to people. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, in the kingdom of God, when you plant the word of God that says, I'm blessed, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It doesn't matter what people experience in a famine. You will not experience famine. You will experience plenty. Amen. So he sowed in that land the word of God and got plenty. He got the word of God back. Amen. Real quickly, Jerry Savelle flew into Charles Capps' place and said, hey, where's all the cotton? Every time I fly here, I see a bunch of cotton. He goes, don't have cotton. Got corn, or what it may be backwards. And he goes, well, why not? He goes, didn't want corn. I got cotton. Just you plant whatever it is you want to reap. Amen. So right now, we'll plant financial harvests. And money's good, cash and all that. Money is good because it turns into whatever it is you need. It's a husk. Amen. So get your tithe, your offering ready. You'll prepare that. I think we have a slide up here on the slideshow. If you're giving by cash, you can reach to an envelope and make that out to Victory. If you're giving by text, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 732-56, click the link and complete your gift. If you also have a camera phone, by the way, you can take your camera up there. It'll read the QR code. You can tap it and take you right to the landing page of the website if you're more comfortable giving that way. All right. So take your offering in your hands, ushers. Be prepared to receive this morning's tithe and offerings. We'll say some words and believe for a harvest. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are God. You are our God. You are our Lord, Father God. You are a king. And I thank you that we are living in the realm, Father God, of your blessing. The blessing of God is upon us here, Father, at Victory. I pronounce the blessing, Father God, over all the tithers, over all the givers. They have more than enough. They superabound by your grace in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the good work that they are given into in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Ushers, you may receive.
God, that was good. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Art. Praise the Lord. All right. We're blessed hundredfold. I could preach right off that. He stayed in covenant boundaries. He did. He stayed in the covenant boundary. Thank you, Jesus. Gerar, if you look it up nowadays, is Gaza. Isn't that interesting? Interesting, huh? Praise the Lord. Still theirs. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. All right. Let's go to John 14:16. John 14:16. And I want to say something to you while you're going. How many of you know who Heidi Baker is?
Yes.
Know Heidi Baker? Okay. She and I call him Roland. Some people call him Roland. Her husband, they were called to Africa, to Mozambique, yes. And so they were there like for, I don't know, years and years, like almost as long as we've been here. Mm-hmm. And they had a little bit of success. I think, you know, they wanted to plant churches there. Of course, they do the children orphanage, stuff like that. And they wanted to plant churches there, and they planted some. They planted some, and it was hardcore, just hardcore, trying to break through, just having to break through. But then they went to the Toronto blessing. They call it the Toronto blessing. And while there, she was baptized by the fire of God. For 7 days, she would try to talk. She couldn't even talk. She would just, and they tried to put her in a chair, and she'd just drip out of the chair. To this day, when she preaches, she just preaches kind of like she's drunk. After that time, they went back to Mozambique, and they planted over 6,000 churches. Now you don't have to wonder anymore while we lay hands on you. You don't have to wonder why you need the Spirit of God, because you can do so much more if you're empowered. You need to keep that in mind. John 14:16 says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say forever.
Forever.
So here's the truth. We're going to be Spirit-filled forever.
Glory
to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, today we are gathering in Jesus' name. And if we gather in Jesus' name today, Lord, then our gathering is going to look like Jesus' gatherings looked, full of teaching and preaching and signs and wonders and healings and miracles. And so, Father, I thank you for your part in this meeting today in the name of Jesus. Church, if it says that God will be with you always, it's more than a verse that's telling you, yes, I'll be with you in difficult times. You know, we kind of think that. Well, you know, I know you're hurting, but it says he'll be with you always. But that scripture has more meaning than that. It's not just difficult times, certainly in time of need. But think about this. His very presence is the one factor that could make the impossible a possibility when it comes to discipling the nations. I mean, it's actually doable. It would actually be doable if he is with us forever. If his presence goes with us, things are very doable. And so we need not to just think of this as a time when there's a crisis. It's every day. Amen. You see that? So, you know, if we simply just take these assignments and we take the command when we try to do them on our own, then we're really no different than the Israelites when they said, okay, just give us the Ten Commandments. If you'll just give us the Ten Commandments, we'll do it. But they couldn't do it. And so he sets up a sacrificial system to keep them alive. Amen. But we're not any different if we just say, okay, God's given us a commission. Let's just run out into the world and try to get it done. No, we need his presence. We need his presence. And we have his presence. His presence is with us. But God's intention is for us to make progress further into his presence. Amen. This is a good thing because we're stepping into the awakening now, so we need his presence more than ever. And can I just say this to you, and I know you can all take it, but, you know, we might want to lose the attitude of thinking we've arrived just because we're a spirit-filled church and we understand healing and miracles and all that. We haven't arrived, and we think, you know, everybody else needs to get spirit-filled like us. Well, you know, we probably are ahead of some folks, but we're behind some folks too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So we need to move forward as well. And listen, I want to say this to you. Jesus didn't set limits on what we could have in this lifetime. He didn't set limits. You can do what go as far as you want to. But here's the one thing he did. He did set a pace. He set a pace to be followed, and it's not to be admired from some religious distance. He set a pace for us. And I think people are, sometimes they're just content with the concept of the presence of God. And I think a lot of people just fail to enter into the intended experience here. We need to be able to move into this. Think about this. When you got married, you didn't get married. You were not a bit interested in the concept of the theory of marriage. No. You when you entered into that, you wanted the privileges and the responsibilities of marriage.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same way with God. It's not just the concept of God or the concept of his presence. We want to get in it. We want to experience it. We want to have encounters with God. So with the presence of God, we want to be the people who respond properly to his presence so that we can be trusted with more. This is what we're looking for. And I'm going to say this to you, and I'm right about this, and I know you'll agree with me. We must steward what God gives us, including his presence and his favor. We have to steward these things, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But just as a guide, just go over this very quickly because I know you know it. But here's how you steward his presence. You learn to obey two commands. This is how you're going to do it. Real easy. You want to know how to steward his presence? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Do not quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Those are the two things you do. We grieve the Spirit when we do something we're not supposed to do. We make wrong choices. And then we quench the Spirit when we don't do what he's asking us to do. Amen. I mean, and this is a big list. You could quench him by being quiet when everybody else is praying. You can quench him by standing there and reading the words when everybody else is singing. Yeah, because you're supposed to be making your supply. Amen. I know I'm meddling a little bit, but just trying to help you get into what you want to get into. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So what we want to do is, we want to do what's right, and we also want to follow him into where he's going. And even in the following him into where he's going, all of these baptisms, as you continue to flow in the Spirit of God, you'll drop off some of that parasite drag that holds you back from doing it. And you're going to have to make a quality decision to even live in a church like this. But you're going to have to make a quality decision to go even further. That you want truth and that you want God himself. Now, Jesus modeled that life for us. And I was thinking about Bill Johnson. Remember when we all went to the convention and Brother Copeland invited Bill Johnson? And the big thing was the Holy Spirit like a dove on Jesus. Remember that? And Brother Copeland loved that, and he would not let that go. He talked about it the whole week. He was just so excited about what Bill said about that. So John 1:32 says, John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. So the Holy Spirit came to rest on him as a mantle of power and authority for a specific purpose. Okay? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit came to rest on Jesus was due to his faithfulness. Okay? It was due to his faithfulness. He was walking with God. He could be entrusted with the presence of God. You gotta be trusted with dynamite. Our family used to be in utilities, and so we dug septics for people out in the country, and Milton was this guy that worked with us. He's our friend, good old Milton. And there's a lot of rock out in the hill country where we lived, and I don't know why, but he called me Bo. Come on, Bo, you're going with me today. Why am I going with you today? Because you're going to have to set off the dynamite. I guess he didn't trust Milton with the dynamite. Sissy's husband was the boss of the company. And so anyway, so I went out there, and I guess I was trusted with the dynamite, and we blew up a hole and put a septic tank in. But you got to be trusted with the dynamite. You got to be trusted with the power. And it's in your faithfulness that you'll be trusted with what God wants to give you. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer, but he rests on very few. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Why? It's not because he's fragile. He's not fragile. He's holy. Few people give him a life to rest upon. Now, don't go jumping off into this thing right now. Well, you know, I'll never be good enough. I'm way back there, and you know, I'm not holy enough, and so he's not going to rest on me. Well, this is about being in agreement with God. We're talking about you being in agreement with God, no matter where you are as you're walking. You come into agreement with God. We call that entering the rest. You enter the rest. And if you enter the rest, then you give him a place to rest. You're not doing it all yourself. The rest means that you stop struggling and you stop doing life just out of the five senses and your intellect. You trust him. So it's just don't discount yourself saying that you're not someone who knows enough yet. Maybe you're not, but you're well on your way. And if you'll start agreeing with God, he will trust you with some things. Now, the quest to be closer to God then, because that's what we're after, to have his rest on you has two central dimensions, okay? Two, the quest for his presence and the quest for favor. Now, let's talk about favor. What is it? What is favor? People would say it's preferential treatment. It denotes acceptance, approval, pleasure. All true, all true. But then when you look into the dimension of the Greek, we see the word charis. And charis translates out what? Grace. So it translates out grace. And so we see that we have, this is what you say. When you find favor with someone, you'll say you're in their good graces. Well, I'm in their good graces. Sissy says I'm the fair-haired child. That's what she told me before about Pastor John. She says, you're the fair-haired child with Pastor John. So, which was true. So you see, you're in their good graces. Now, with God, you get favor or grace. You got that at your conversion. Now, you'll have to walk with me through this. Forgiveness is there. And you have, when you were converted, you have access to the presence of God right then, right then. Now, I think that grace, to some people, is I live in grace because I live like hell, and this is my protection. You know, come on, come on. This, you know, grace swung way. Yeah, okay. So I can do anything I want to do because I'm under grace. So people will brag about their shortcomings and then just write them off because they're saved by grace. But that's really not what helps you there. I'll tell you what helps you there. It's called mercy. Mercy is what helps you through those situations. And you might want to, just advice, you might want to cancel that bragging about them and brag about him and how he can deliver you from your shortcomings. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're looking for. And that's what we need. But this is what I want you to see, why I'm trying to break this up a little bit. God's grace is operational power. You certainly had the mercy of God. You've been forgiven of all your sins. Jesus has already paid for them. Okay? But the thing about it is you've got a devil that's legalistic in this world, and he's going to try to make you pay. And sowing and reaping teaches us that you could have to pay. So you better know how to handle moving through this thing. Amen. It's not God doing it. Amen. But you could get entangled in the wrong thing. But what we then have is grace is this empowerment. It will empower you to do what's right, do it right because it's right. And so you actually can change if you want to. All right, that was all free. That's what we need. So he gives us a grace to become like Jesus. Now, there are two aspects of grace, access and power. Access and power. So what that does is it sets us up to understand what it means to grow in favor with God. Where there are two aspects there. One is the pursuit of God. The other is receiving in God's presence measures of his own nature that empower you to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So what you have is you have access and power. And then when you dig down in there, it's the same thing. Pursuit and receiving. Access and power. You're going for it and you can receive it. Or you're going for it, you receive the power to do. Now, please get this. This is what, you don't hear anything else I say today, I want you to get this. Considering the fact that it takes favor to get more favor, and we've all received favor at our conversion, so you have it, the issue of growing in favor is an issue of stewardship. You got favor. But if you're going to have more favor, you're going to have to steward it. You got presence, but if you're going to have more presence, you're going to have to steward it. Well, that doesn't sound like grace to me. Wait a minute. Grace is operational. Grace is an operational power. Oh, it's clicking, isn't it? You're going to have to steward your favor. So here's our question. What have I done with the favor that God has given me? What have I done with that favor? I just heard someone say, I don't know if I even have any. Well, I just told you did. You got some. You do. Think about that person that really, really, really loves you. And you go, oh, yeah, I have favor with them. Yeah, I have favor. Yeah, oh, yeah, them. Yeah, I have favor with them. I'm in their good graces. You can think of somebody. Well, you have favor with God. You do have. You start with something. But I'll tell you this, this being our question, what have I done with the favor of God? I believe this is why we don't see the God-given dreams come true. Because everybody just says, well, I have favor, but I guess it'll kick in here and there when God wants it to. We have to steward the favor. Is this making sense to anybody? The sober reality is most dreams could go unfulfilled because of the lack of favor with God and man. Now, do you remember what the scripture said? It said Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Now, how does the Son of God grow in favor with God? The only way I can answer that is this. He did it as an example. He did it to show us that we grow in favor. We will grow in favor with God. And you will. You will grow in favor with God. When favor is increasing, we witness the power of exponential increase that comes, I'm saying this slow on purpose, that comes through agreement, comes through with agreement. You're agreeing with God and there's exponential increase. Okay? Just walk with me for a minute and you'll catch on to what I mean by this. I'm going to say it again. In fact, I'm going to read it off my notes. When favor is increasing, we witness the power of exponential increase that comes through agreement. It's big, but you're going to get this. Go over to Matthew 25, 14, and then you'll get it. Matthew 25, 14. Exponential increase is a good thing.
Amen.
You need to look up exponential. Mm-hmm. It's not just then. It's boom, 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 boom. Amen. Tell me when you get there. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. Now, that's like so many $1,000, okay? It's not tap dancing, okay? To another 2 and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, okay? So different people got different things. Immediately he went on a journey. And when he had received, and then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, the one who had received 2 gained more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents. So they're doubling what they had, right? And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter to the joy of your Lord. Church, each one of them is given the opportunity for increase by the faithful use of what was given to them. They are given an opportunity to increase by the faithful use of what was given to them. Okay? Now, in the kingdom of God, faithfulness is the supreme value. And it's always rewarded. We are rewarded. Yeah, I'll say a little bit more about that as we get to the end of this, but we are rewarded. Now, on the other hand, verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So he's given it back to him. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. To everyone who has, more will be given and will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I'll say something to you right now. In the same measure faithfulness is rewarded, unfaithfulness is judged. God judges everything that opposes love. Well, how did that lazy servant oppose love? What do we see here? Well, he didn't correct the servant's view of him being a hard man, did he? Hard man here was savvy businessman. That's what that is. You've got it going on, okay? So he didn't correct him for that. Instead, He rebuked him for the wrong response to that view. Instead of this holy fear or this honor, instead of that, respecting the man he worked for, okay? He's respecting the man that he worked for. Now, which would given him a correct sense of the weight of trust that had been laid on him. This man just trusted me with this $2,000. But he didn't have that respect for that the man believed in him. Come on. A savvy businessman in the world. Let's see. There was one we knew. His last name was Trump. He was very successful. Okay, so if Mr. Trump hired you and said, "Now I'm gonna give you this much money, you can make me some money." Think business here.
Yeah.
Then he thinks you can.
That's good.
But this guy said, "You know, this is too hard. It's too hard. I can't do it." And that's exactly what he's saying. It's too hard. That's what he was saying. It's too hard. I can't do it. He's not respecting what Mr. Trump, or let's just go straight here, what Jesus said he could do. I just don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I could answer the call that God has put on my life. I don't know if I could be a leader in the church. I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could do that. But if God said you could, if God trusted you with that, if your leader said you could do it, then you better put on the hat and start wearing it. And if God has offered you favor, are you just going to sit back and do nothing with it? So he's telling the master, "Your expectations are too high. I can't do this. Your expectations are just too high." Now, the faithful servants didn't make excuses. They just went out and did it. They took what they were given and they used it. They represented the master in his absence. And I'm going to say something to you about the ecclesia in general. I think that we've seen a lazy attitude in our commission to imitate Jesus in destroying the works of the devil by signs and wonders and miracles. Come on. I think there's too many church doors that you can go through, and too many times that we've spent not working in signs and wonders and miracles and destroying the works of the devil because we just thought it was too hard. I'm talking about the church in general. Because we don't think it's too hard. But God's had to get us here. Yeah, yes. You see where I'm going with this? So I think there's this kind of lazy attitude. I think there's this attitude of, well, you know, if God wants to do it, he's going to burst on the scene. But you've got to give him a way in. Well, we'll watch it, and Art and Hector and Larry and Jesse and Danny and Jordan and Miss Deb and Pastor, and Miss Farrell, she leads that team, and they'll get us in there. No, we're talking about you. What's the call on your life? Amen. See, faithful stewards don't get hung up on the how. They don't get hung up on the how. They're going to fulfill the master's plan. Well, you know, I think I'm called to preach, but there's so many preachers in that Victory Church, I don't know how I would ever get a turn. Oh, listen, you can preach on every street corner out here. You can preach in HEB. You can go to get on the prison team and preach at the prison. You can start praying and God will open doors for you if you're a preacher. You don't have to preach here. You may, but you're going to preach somewhere. If God called you to do it, if you'll answer what's on you, he'll answer you back. You need to stop thinking it's too hard and you can't get in. Well, I really want to be a good big giver, but I don't know how I'll ever do that. Well, I know how. Start. And the grace will come for you to give more and more and more. Amen. Now, the unfaithful steward questions the wisdom of the master. Now, we cannot question the wisdom of the master. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, cast out demons, and the Lord will come work with the word. Which means you're going to have to get some word. Okay. Now, this is what I want to get to as we're coming down the last street here. The good news for us is that we're not hired servants. So you're already ahead of the game. Now, listen to what I want to say here. Jesus modeled perfect faithfulness for us by taking on the form of a servant and perfectly fulfilling Father's will. He showed us that the best service comes from those who are not actually hired servants. But it's like Avery working for Dad, but she does it not as his kid. She does it as a true servant of God. This is Dad's business. I'm going to see that I make Dad look good. So we're not the spoiled brats that get our way. Kind of. But we're not brats. We might be a little spoiled, but we're not brats. But we are the ones who work for God and company, or the kingdom. We work for the kingdom. We do it as if we were servants. Jesus is the Son of God, but he came as a servant. Yes, and he's trying to show us that we come as servants. So we're already ahead of the game being the sons. And then if we know how to behave, so we want to be intimate friends who take on a servant's role as an expression of love. That's who we want to be. And Jesus showed us how to do that. So listen to me now. Here's your secret. It is by learning to become his friend. Friend of God. That's your mark to reach the prize. Become a friend of God. You're his son. But you can become a friend. Many, many sons and dads are friends. Many daughters and dads are friends. But they do things on a friendship level. And when your kids are grown, they become your friend and your brother in Christ. It's a different relationship there. Friendship is the purpose of our creation. I want you to think that Adam and Eve were placed in a garden, and they're placed in the middle of turmoil. The rest of the earth is in turmoil because Satan is in the earth and he was put down here. And God's plan was, I'm going to take someone who chooses me, who loves me, and we're going to get together and work together as a team in partnership, in friendship, in sonship, and we're going to push this thing out and push the turmoil out of the world. That was his original plan. Still is. So he's looking for relationship here. Now, Satan's defeat was to come by the hands of those who were made in God's image, by those who worship him by choice. It's still true today. Satan's defeat is going to come forth in this world, in this nation, in this area, by you and what you're doing. Does anybody like this?
Yeah.
Now, so I'm going to give you a scripture for the divine plan, and you'll just be tickled about this. This is just really good. Psalm 23:5. See, somebody already knew it. You know Psalm 23? You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. You prepare a table before me. Right now, we're sitting at the covenant table. We're like Mephibosheth. The king went and got him, brought him back, set him at his table, gave him all his land back, gave him all his servants back, did everything for him, but he's still eating at the king's table. That's who you are. The only thing between us and Meph is that in our covenant, our legs would be healed. Okay? We don't have time to teach on that, but that's what it's like. So right now, the enemy is having to watch you eat at the covenant table. That's what he's doing right now. Amen? Satan, my people love me and I love them and you're going to watch. And see, at that table of fellowship, our relationship with God deepens and overflows into this life of victory in conflict with the power of darkness. And there we go, pushing it out. We're pushing it out. We're pushing it out. You just pull right up to that table. You just pull, but that's part of your stewardship. It's your friendship. It's your sonship. It's your fellowship. It's your partnership. This is how you are able to grow in the things of God, including favor. Church, I know you don't like this, but I'm going to tell you, not everyone has the same favor. You start with some, but not everyone's using theirs. True. People that know how to navigate their favor go much further than those who just go, well, I know I'm favored, but I just see it on Larry Wallace. I just see it on Patty. I just, you know, Pastor seems to have a lot of favor. Why? They've learned to navigate. They've learned to receive it and use it. Favor is usable. You wear it. That's right. Praise the Lord. So how do I steward my favor? Friendship and partnership with God. Steward your favor that's been given by trusting that God knew how much to give you. Well, I don't seem like I have as much favor as Debbie Clark does. Well, see, you're... What are you doing? You're comparing. You could, maybe she knows the books better than you do, so maybe she got the 5 talents. Maybe you just got the 2, but if you'll go use the 2, while she's using the 5, you're gonna find out you're gonna end up with 10, 20, 40, whatever. Are you with me? Use what's been given to you. Take the seed that you have of favor and use it. Take the seed of the presence that you have and use it. Stop and talk to God. Listen to God. Pray. Take the time that when we're worshiping God that you actually worship in here and don't just look around. Worship. Steward your worship, church. Steward your worship. Sing the song. Worship God. Think about the words. You might find something in there that'll interpret out to you. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Might turn into something big in your heart. Dry bones rattling might turn into something big in your heart. You may find out you can shake a lot of stuff off that needs to leave and you live. Glory to God. I know, church. I know it's tempting to say, well, I think we all have the same favor. We're going to step out into some risky business here. You need to think about that. It's Bible. We have the favor that we're trusted with. That's Bible. And it is also our constitutional right. You were supposed to go as high as you want to go because you're made in the image of God and nobody can stop you but you. Did you hear me? Well, I was abused. Well, that doesn't have to stop you. You can be healed of that. Well, I was born on the other side of the tracks. So what? Well, we were poor when we were young. So what? Well, my daddy was this. My mama was this. So what? You're not, are you going to live under something that happened 50 years ago and let it rule your life? Or are you going to break free? Well, the last church I went to, you know, they did me wrong. Well, how long are you going to live under that? Why don't you just forgive them and let it go? We don't need to play another song of somebody done me wrong song. God created you and gave you faith and gave you word and started you with some favor. And when you were converted, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. Everybody that's born again got a good start. But nothing has to stop you. The only one that can stop you is you. So if you want to go crawl off in the corner and say it's over and blah, 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 and I'm not going to do and da, 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 then you can. God allows what you allow. But if you want to do something and you want to increase in favor and you want to increase in presence and you want to increase in your business life and in your ministry and all that you do, then you can. In the love for your family, in your relationships, in your prayer life, which is major, church. Prayer life is major. What about just increasing within your relationship with Father God? Because that's when presence comes. And that's when favor comes. Because you know good and well that when you get close to someone, they favor you. They will pick you. Absolutely. You don't get to be the fair-haired child by staying away.
That's right. That is right.
I go with Pastor John taught me. I don't ever give anyone a position because of their talents and gifts alone. They get a position with me because they stay close to me. Because I know them. I'll know whether I can trust them or not. I know what they're like. These are the kind of people that are in my circle. I know that I can trust them. That's how church should be done. It's quiet in the church. Just want you to think about it as we're closing here. God's going to trust you because you're close to him. Samuel lined up all those guys. That big old tall one. He's like, man, this must be the king. This must be the king. Nope. Holy Spirit. Nope. We're going to look on the heart. So when they got down to the short, red-headed guy, he was the king. But it was his heart. And what was his heart doing? Spending time with God. Spending time with God. Spending time with God. Well, I read 17 chapters a day. No, I said spending time with God. Let him read them with you if you're going to read that much. Ask him what he thinks about that. Go outside with him. Ask him what he thinks about the weather. Talk to him. Talk to him. Well, is there anything you want to tell me today? Is there anything you'd like to lead me in today? What's on your heart today? I worship you today. I love you, Lord. I thank you for your presence today. And his face will shine upon you and you will find favor. And God will love your heart. And your favor will increase. You think Gary Cassie got that big deer just out of being a good hunter? They didn't even come to him until he got with God. And then God says, I'm going to let the big one walk out right in front of you. That's such a great story. God was in the deer blind. Can't believe you would say God would. Church, God was the first one who took the lives of animals for his covenant men. He did. He knew what they were for. He knew what they were for. I'm not being mean, and don't write me an ugly letter or an ugly email. It's just what the scripture said. He made clothes out of animals. Moving right along. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to fail. You can just access and receive. So how are you going to steward your favor? Talk to me. How are you going to steward your favor? You're going to spend time with him. And you're going to use your favor. When you see a door could open, walk through it. This looks like favor to me. They're favoring me on this. You can see very clearly when people favor you. Pray about it. Move forward in it. God will show you some favor. You'll be so surprised how much will come forward. You'll be surprised how much a family member will show you favor if you'll just watch the increase. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for everyone who's been watching us today out on the internet. And we thank you, Lord, for your glory manifesting in their lives. Thank you for great favor on their lives. Thank you for blessing their lives. Thank you that they're healed by the stripes of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that they come into fellowship with you, that they come into partnership with you, that they walk close to you. Father, you said that the Israelites knew your acts, but Moses knew your ways, and he was a friend of God. We thank you, Lord. Abraham was a friend of God. He knew how to change situations by calling things that are not as though they were. Father, I thank you. You said in your word that you were gracious. And gracious means disposed to show favor. And so, Lord, we thank you that you're disposed to show us favor. And, Lord, we just receive that favor today. We thank you, Lord, for that favor. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Praise God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Do you like that? So I wanted to, you know, we're always going somewhere. We're always taking a path somewhere. I just wanted you to encourage you in this because the Lord has let me know that he's going to do something special for us. Early this morning, I said, you know, Lord, I'm just going to ask you something. And he told me, I want to. I said, Lord, you know, I said, and down in Pensacola, the altar busted open. I said, those guys over in the South, their Bible began to just bleed oil. Yep. You did? I have some. We've seen the gold all over people's faces. There's been diamonds on the floor. There's been all those things. And, you know, and you say, well, we shouldn't look for those things. Well, I've thought about that a lot. But I'm telling you, those of us here in this room, we don't need it. But other people do.
Yeah.
Other people need to. It's the dinner bell.
Yeah.
When people get miracles and get healed. So when you're looking at it, we're not looking at it to become a famous church. I'd rather have 100 believing people that are going somewhere and changing the world in their prayers and ministering people than 5,000 people that are a bunch of babies don't know what they're doing. But I'm telling you, I'm willing to take the babies. I'm willing to bring them in. But there are people who are desperate right now who need to know how good God is. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, I hope you agree with it. However God chooses, whether angels begin to appear, whatever he chooses to do, I declare that we have more and more glory in this house.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what the Lord said to me. He said three words to me. I want to. I want to. I said, okay. So now what I'm going to do is steward those three words. You said you wanted to.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm going to make myself ready because you said you wanted to. Well, you could talk to God like that. He's my daddy.
Yeah.
He's my daddy. I mean, you know, I'm the one that was sent in to go get the ice cream and soda. Go tell daddy we want something. And I went and put my arm around his neck, rubbed him on the head. Dad. I have a witness in the room. Back in those days, you didn't sit in a car seat. You stood up next to your dad in the Hudson. Now I'm telling my age. But you stood up next to it and you go down to the ice house, not the convenience store. It's the ice house and all the front's open. And there's men sitting in there on stools drinking beer. And yeah, did y'all know that life? Any of y'all? We lived in San Antonio. It was like that. And so you go in there and pass those guys on up and you get to Knowlton's ice cream back then and Big Red. What are you talking about? I don't know. I just thought you might want to know that. But the truth is that's how you could be. Just put your arm around his neck and say, what are we going to do? Will you do this? And he'll put the things in your heart. He'll put the desires in your heart. May not be Big Red and ice cream, but it's going to be something good. There's things he wants you to do, things he wants you. There's lanes that you get in them and you'll see the favor. There's lanes. This is prophetic right now. There's lanes that you get in and you'll find the favor. I'll just give you an example. The lane that God has used me in for 30 years is the prophetic. And it's increasing all the time. But that's when I'm itinerant preaching. That's what they want. She's going to give us a word. She's going to give us a word. God's going to use her to prophesy. But what I like to do is go in there. I'll prophesy to them, but I want to preach the word of faith to them. Yes, I want to teach them to walk by faith.
Yeah.
But that's my lane. And I have favor there. Okay. I have favor. When they're calling us to a meeting, they go, well, you know what area we'll use you in. And I'm thinking, okay. But go ahead and go with that. Go with who you are. Go with how the lane God, let's stand up. Go with how God wants you to move. Maybe it's in your giving. Maybe it's in your prayer. Maybe it's in something you do. Maybe it's in your business. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. God has something that it just seems like it's beyond reason. But you know how to handle it. You know how to handle it in the spirit. It's bigger than you thought, but he wants to do it. It's beyond how you could figure it out, but you know how to slip right into that lane and move into it. And he'll take you there all the way, says the Spirit of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just hear new management as I'm walking right here. New management in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord. This is an easy way to say this to the two of you. You just got the spirit of monopoly. Just keep playing. Just keep playing and keep taking. It's right. It's right. And there's an anointing there. There's an anointing for it. So just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You're just moving in. There's properties. There's lands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't have a guitar case in here like this. Y'all, get this in your mind right now. Remember those, like on a guitar case where you take the metal part and you hook it up and then you snap it down. This is important. Okay, yeah. Bring it up here, Matt. See this? Mm-hmm. See that, Deb? Uh-huh. Y'all see it?
Yeah.
Can y'all see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you bring it up and you snap it down. Uh-huh. This morning, while praise and worship was going on, I had a vision. And it was about the property next door to our next door. And I saw three of those snap down and close in the property next to us. Now, I don't even know what all we're supposed to do with that property, but I heard the Lord say they belong together. Now, understand that that's something that we kind of do as a ministry thing. The church finances and everything stay in this house, and then we'll apply some there. As we go forward, we'll be applying some. But whether it's a camp or a headquarters or an extra church or whatever it is, Or maybe perhaps we'll buy it ourselves. I don't know. But I'm telling you, if God tells you that land is going to snap in place for you, you better believe it, confess it, and tell somebody.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because it's going to snap into place.
Yep.
Okay. Now, we're going to find property and build a church in town somewhere. But God has his eye on the country. I don't know why, church. And I don't care if you agree with me. I just know he does. For some reason, we need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's big enough to do it all.
Yes, he is.
And so we'll just let him.
Yeah.
Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Now, did you see your reaction when I said it snapped down into place?
Yeah.
Because there's something in you that's happening just like that.
Amen.
It'll snap down into place just like that. It's going to hook right up to it and snap right down. It'll just snap right down into it. This is going to snap right down into it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jerry and Mildred, I see a river. And it's right in front of you. And it's a spiritual thing. And as you cross through into this new place, it's going to be comfortable. It's going to be good. It's right in front of you, and it's spiritual. And it's just going to take you joining up with God. And I see this word, satisfaction. Satisfaction. Knowing the plan. Satisfaction. Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of the entrepreneur. In the name of Jesus, thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. We bless you and we praise you. We give you glory. We give you glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.